all the time we invest in trying to acquire all the stuff, and we fill our garages with stuff that we hardly ever use, and we could be using that to advance the kingdom, to make a difference, to treasure those souls that will be in eternity because we were obedient and we took the torch and we took the gospel banner and we charged the beachhead. And yes, the arrows were being slung, but we would not bend. We would not buckle. We would not break. We said, oh, we want to see revival. We want to see awakening. We want to see reformation. Oh, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Even if none go with us, that should be our mantra.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch with This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. You know, the Bible is clear when Jesus says that, hey, if you really want to come after me, you must deny yourself, you must take up your cross, and you must follow me, Jesus, wherever I lead you. Boy, those are difficult words to hear in the flesh, but that's what Christ commands of us who really want to follow after him and be his disciples. I encourage you right now to take your Bible and join me in Luke chapter 9, looking at verses 23 through 26, as we listen to the conclusion of the message entitled, The Most Difficult Thing You Will Ever Do.
And revival, as we traced it back over history, is all about just a simple people that don't have a whole lot to offer, yet they get on their face and they pray and they pray and they pray and they surrender and they surrender and they surrender. And at some point, a mighty move of God shakes that culture. That's revival. You can't get to revival by skipping over this text. Deny myself, renounce myself, take my agenda, put it to the side, take up my cross, how often? Daily. It's the extent of the denial. I made a note here. I said that we can pray that God would stir in our hearts, but our real prayer should be that he gives us the courage to simply do what he says. We can pray that God would stir in our hearts. It's a good thing. But our real prayer should be that he gives us the courage to simply do what he says. The third component of that verse there is follow me. And think about this. To follow is one who goes after someone else. You know quickly and learn quickly about being a follower of Jesus. You can't be the one leading Jesus and following Jesus both at the same time. It won't happen. It can't happen. That's why key number one, I want you to write this down in your notes. Write this down for revival. Key number one, there is a great cost to truly following Jesus. That's the key number one. There's a cost. There's a great cost. I'm kind of one of those guys. I would rather tell you on the front end what you're signing up for than for you to sign up for it. And you're going, wait a minute. Didn't realize this is what the real deal was. No, there's going to be a great cost. You say, preacher, where are you getting this from? Well, we get it from Scripture, and we just read it. Jesus says, if you really want to follow me, and picture him doing that in that day, he's calling the crowds. You want to follow me? Come here. Hey, woo-hoo, come here. Oh, here. Oh, here. You want to follow me? Well, here's the deal. Three criteria. You got to deny you. Crowd gets thinner. You got to take up your cross. Crowd gets thinner. And you got to follow me wherever I go. Crowd gets thinner. See, so often we forget the fact that Jesus, when you really look at his words, he wasn't afraid to thin the crowd. We want to actually gather the crowd, and that's a good thing. We want to see people come to know Jesus. Great thing. But Jesus is being very specific about the high cost of following him. It's not something you do on Sunday morning. You can't be a weekend warrior for Jesus and really be surrendered to Jesus. It won't happen. It can't happen. He either has all of you or he has none of you. That's why in Luke 13, 24, write it down. Luke 13, 24, it says this, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Now think about for a moment those in the persecuted church. We heard the testimony of China, and on my wrist here, no planning on this, but I wear this all the time. It says, pray for China. I love China for this reason. I love the house church movement. In China, their faith is a fight, not a fashion show. In China, it's a battleground, not a playground, right? I mean, they're in this. Like, okay, I love Jesus or go to jail. Those are like two of your options. We love Jesus. That's just real, isn't it? And people are wondering, they're going, why are so many people, hundreds of thousands of people, running to the cross of Jesus Christ? I'll tell you why. Because it's real. See, when it's real, it really isn't that big of a sacrifice, is it? When your life is really no longer your own, guess what? Your life is no longer your own. But when our lives really are still our own, and we say they're not, when we say we're surrendered and we're really not, boy, there is a fight going on. There is an internal glory war going on. There is a struggle going on. And we will never see revival in America as long as we continue to just play around with God. It won't happen. People say, well, if we pass this bill and this law, that's all good. You understand this, church family? We are in a deep spiritual crisis. And you will never, listen closely, you will never solve the spiritual crisis we're in today in the United States of America with man-made solutions. Won't happen. We'll continue to spin our wheels and think we're making progress. Boy, that's a lie from the pit of hell, isn't it? Boy, we're making progress. No, we're not. We need people to rise up and say, man, I'm going to live for Jesus. It's going to cost me everything, but I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to take up my cross. Look at verse 24 as we continue on. I love verse 23. It sets up beautifully there in 22. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. I love it. Jesus is saying here, okay, guys, all right, boys, here's what's going to happen to me. I'm going to go suffer. And you think about that context of that day. I mean, they were looking for an earthly king, weren't they? All the people, all the Jews. I mean, they're under this Roman oppression. Finally, we got this king. Wait a minute, he's born in a manger? What's going on here? What's some lousy king is this? Wait a minute, he's getting beaten and scourged and nailed to a cross? Oh, little did they know that on that day, as he went into that grave, little did Satan know that as King Jesus went in that grave, that the greatest victory in the history of the world was unfolding behind the scenes as King Jesus was going to make much of himself in his glory on that third day, man. And he burst forth in glorious day. Up from the grave, he rose again. And now he stands in victory, and sin has lost his curse on me. I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Amen. Jesus turns human logic on its head when he says 24, but whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Well, that sounds confusing, doesn't it? You're like, Jesus, what are you talking about here? Save his life, to protect, to preserve. Lose life, to destroy, to kill, to render useless. I made a note here. I said that I will destroy everyone in my path if I pursue myself and my personal agenda. That's why in John 8:24, these potent words are spoken. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Do you understand this, church family? That the belief that Jesus is talking about there is not intellectual. This is not, I just believe in Him. This is not passive. When you study this, there is deep action. There is deep action in the belief that I've been so radically rocked by His glory, His praise, His blood, His righteousness, His atoning, His imputation. Oh, because of that, I now am taking action for Him, for His glory, for His praise. So he says again, lose his life for my sake. the same shall save it. Think about this. You will be protected and preserved when you die to self. I know that sounds asinine. I know right now you're going, wait a minute, my brain's like about ready to explode. No, listen to this again. You will be protected and preserved when you die to self. That's what Jesus is saying here. You will find life by giving up your life. You win by losing. You live by dying. See, Jesus doesn't operate according to human logic. He operates according to simply his gospel. And that's why key number two for revival, and this is so paramount, write it down, key number two. I will never truly live until I first die to self. For revival, key number two, I will never truly live until I first die to self. See, for the true believer today, take this to the bank, Jesus is not interested in you and I being co-kings on his throne. Like, he's like, okay, John, fine, let's negotiate this deal. You can hang out with me. No, that's not how this works. I'm adopted as a son, but he's my king. And we got to get to the point in our walk with him, because I think that so many people who are pursuing the American dream instead of pursuing Christ are at this point. They're at a point. They're at a critical point. Because think about this. If you got one hand on Jesus and one hand on the dream, boy, sooner or later, you're going to have to let go of one, aren't you? Human strength and intellect and talent will only carry you so far. And you're hanging on to Jesus and hanging on to the dream and hanging on to Jesus, hanging on to the dream. And sooner or later, you got to let go of one or the other. And so many people, I believe, even inside the American church today, are looking for this American dream. And what they're beginning to realize is it's turning into the ultimate nightmare. Because Jesus says, you're either for me or against me. You can't be both. I love how the text goes on in verse 25. It says, for what profit is it if a man, if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? Think about key number three. Write it down. Key number three. If I'm not found in Christ, if I'm not found in Christ, no matter what I gain in this life, will ever make up for what I lose in the next life. Key number three, if I am not found in Christ truly, no matter what I gain in this life, will ever make up for what I lose in the next life. Think about that. Jesus says, for what profit is it? You folks in business, you want to make a profit. You got to make a profit to stay in business. That's how business works. What profit is it? What advantage is it? If you gain everything, let's say that you get the dream home and the luxury cars and the bank account and you got all the stuff you ever wanted, but in the end, you really haven't surrendered your life to Christ. What profit is that going to get you and I in the end? We can't buy our way into heaven. We can't take it with us. All the time we invest in trying to acquire all the stuff, and we fill our garages with stuff that we hardly ever use, and we could be using that to advance the kingdom, to make a difference, to treasure those souls that will be in eternity because we were obedient and we took the torch and we took the gospel banner and we charged the beachhead. And yes, the arrows were being slung, but we would not bend. We would not buckle. We would not break. We said, oh, we want to see revival. We want to see awakening. We want to see reformation. Oh, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Even if none go with us, that should be our mantra.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
Salvation is just not another category that we check off or a silo in our life. No, salvation in Jesus is our life. It becomes your life and my life. It should. It should be everything to you. It should be everything to me. Oh, how we need revival. Oh, how we need awakening. That this mind that was in Christ Jesus would also be in us, Philippians 2. Think about key number 4 as we look at verse 26. And I'll read 26 first and then look at key 4 for revival. Look at verse 26. For whoever is ashamed of me. Wow, Jesus doesn't let up here, does he? I mean, this whole text is kind of like, wow, this hurt. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and his Father's and of the holy angels. That word ashamed in the original language, don't miss this, means this: to be embarrassed of, to deny. Think about that for a moment as we begin to drive this towards the end. For those that say they're in Christ, for those that say, go Jesus, and yet the reality is their lives are still their own. We know from Matthew 7 that narrow is the way, right? Narrow. Narrow. You thought about this in Matthew 7, it says this. Narrow is the way that leads to what? Life. And how many will find it, does the text say? Few. So on one hand, we have narrow, life, and few. Now, there is an alternative path. It says this, broad is the way. Broad is the way. Wide is the way that leads to what? Destruction, to death. And how many are going to find that one? Many, the text says. So on one extreme, when you think through this, on one extreme, you got life and you got few and you got a very narrow path. And by the way, what do you typically take with you when you're going through something that's very narrow? Well, you take all your junk, don't you? Well, you just gather it all up and you saddle on and you just walk through the narrow way, right? There we go. Going by the narrow way, going by the narrow way. Now, what do you do? You kind of turn to the side, don't you? You sucker in a little bit and you just kind of try to ease through, don't you? You go through the narrow way. So we got too many people that think they're on the narrow way. And they got all their stuff with them. All the idols, all their little gods, all their little Jesuses. And they don't understand that the wide path is death, and many will go in by it. Many. Revival is not a series of meetings. Revival is not when we just gather together and sing. Revival is when we go low and Jesus goes really high. Revival is when we draw that circle around just us and go, oh God, praise. Oh God, what is it in my life today? God, what personal indwelling sin today do you need to root out, God? What's going on in my life today that, oh God, you just need to rip it out and take the blinders and the scales and remove those from my heart and my soul and my mind? Oh God, we begin to cry out to Him and say, bring revival, usher in the winds of revival as you bend us and you break us, as we yield to you, as we surrender and give everything to you. Oh, that's revival. But let me encourage you who are like me and have too much in your past that you are ashamed of. You can, number one, face your fears through the righteous royal blood of Jesus Christ. Number two, your past does not define who you really are. Are we worthy? Not in and of ourselves, but Jesus has made us worthy, amen? It's because of what He did that He took my place. That my sin not in part. Did you catch that? My sin not in part, but the whole was what? Was nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. Why? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is well with my soul. I think often we don't experience revival because we've taken for granted what Jesus really did. We celebrate Him on Easter. Thanks, Jesus. Appreciate you. That was great. Sorry it happened to you. Man, Easter and Christmas should be daily for the true believer in Jesus Christ. every day. Thank you for coming to this earth. Thank you for going to the cross. Thank you for rising triumphantly. Oh, thank you, God. Death was arrested, as the song says. Oh, God, I pray. Usher in the winds of revival in our hearts today. We should confidently and proudly wear the badge of Christ's follower with honor. We must embrace the one who was despised. The way to life is to please the one who was rejected. We must not be ashamed of the one who was shamed. Acts 5:41-42, listen to these words. So they, the disciples, departed from the presence of the council. Don't miss this. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching, Jesus is Christ. Paul even said in Philippians 3:9-10, and being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may, don't miss this, know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Oh, that good. How will you know the power of his resurrection apart from the fellowship of his sufferings? You can't extrapolate the two. They go hand in hand for the true Christ follower. We're going to bask and revel in the glorious resurrection, but we're also going to embrace the fellowship of his sufferings. It's par for the course. The disciples, Christ himself, they all suffered greatly. Matter of fact, Paul even said there again in Philippians, it's not only been granted charis to you, it's only been gifted to you to believe in him, but also to suffer. And there in that text prior, he says this, I want everyone to know that my chains, as they are in Christ, he said it's been for the furtherance of the gospel. Because I'm in chains, the whole Praetorium Guard has heard, upward of 10,000 soldiers heard about this Jesus because of Paul's suffering. If he wouldn't have suffered, they wouldn't have heard. Boy, it brings a whole new lens on our pain, doesn't it? As we surrender all truly. That's why in conclusion, I want to give you three verses to write down. Write these down. Don't miss these. You're going to need these at the potluck. I love potlucks, by the way. We call them belly ship in my circles. Matthew 10:33. But whoever denies me before men, Matthew 10:33, but whoever denies me before men, him I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. 2 Timothy 2:12. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And lastly, Luke 5:11. It's one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. That whole account there in Luke 5 is the disciples being called and they're fishermen and there's all this rationalizing going on and finally they obey Jesus. They had this incredible catch of fish. And 5:11 says this, they forsook all and followed him. Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about this? They forsook all. Like number one, what did they forsake? What were their boats used for? Well, it was their livelihood, wasn't it? And they said, Jesus, we're following you. We're leaving our employment on the beach. But have you ever thought about this? Because Scripture's silent, so I can only assume this. But what did they do with the blessing of fish? They had two boats that were sinking because they're full of fish. And the text says this, they forsook all and followed him. Oh, sometimes God asks us to sacrifice deeply for his glory and his praise. And perhaps for you today, it's even sacrificing his blessing. That he might be made much of and the world might see Christ in you, the hope of glory, and say, there's a billboard for Jesus. I don't know what you got, but I want what you have. Tell me about this Jesus who is called the Christ. See, that's why it was my death and your death that Jesus died. Is it really too much that we give all in return to him? As I conclude, I want to read something to you that greatly has shaped my life over the years, and I pray that it will stir in your mind like never before during this revival time as we just seek God and his praise and his glory, as we surrender. And here's what A.W. Tozer said, and it greatly impacted me many years ago. He used Luke 6:46 when he wrote this, which I already quoted, but I will read again. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Luke 6:46. Here's what Tozer writes. It is my conviction that much, very much, prayer for and talk about revival these days is wasted energy. Let me pause there for a moment. He wrote this many years ago. So imagine exponentially how we could amen that statement. Ignoring the confusion of figures, I might say that it is a hunger that appears to have no object. It is dreamy wishing that is too weak to produce moral action, obedience. It's fanaticism on a high level, for according to John Wesley, a fanatic is one who seeks desired ends while ignoring the constituted means to reach those ends. The correction of this error is extremely difficult, for it entails more than a mere adjustment of our doctrinal beliefs. It strikes, here we go, at the whole Adam life and requires the self-abnegation, humility, and cross-carrying. In short, it requires obedience, and that we will do anything to escape. It is almost unbelievable how far we will go to avoid obeying God. We call Jesus Lord and beg Him to rejuvenate our souls, but we are careful to do not the things He says. When faced with a sin, a confession, or a moral alteration in our life, we find it much more easier to pray half a night than simply to obey God. Wow. I think God wants to bring revival. I believe God is still in the soul-saving business. He's not here just to bless our lives and bless our plans. That's not the point. It's the complete opposite. It's we're yielding to Him in total surrender to say, God, use me for how you see fit, oh God, because revival requires self-denial, and denying self is the most difficult thing you and I will ever do.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.